And thirdly, perhaps the biggest field of patience of all, other people. Very important, and the most difficult of all. Other people are the source of so much hope, possibility, so much joy and happiness, and they're the source of so much frustration and pain and disappointment. Perhaps precisely because we see them as the source of so much possibility and joy and love. The fact is, other people don't behave in the way we want them to or expect them to. We carefully try to avoid those who at first glance seem to obviously won't give us what we want. At first glance, that's what we do. We kind of avoid them. There's an aversion or indifference. We move towards those we are convinced instinctively have the goods, will deliver to us, give us what we want, give us what we need. But what happens? What goes on? People are never what they seem. They're not who you thought they were. So you can feel that they have let you down. Or they just leave you. Or you just fall out. Whatever happens, you feel let down. If you've invested in them very heavily, when they become the sort of ground of your being, you don't notice this happening, of course, but when they have become a sort of ground of your being, which does happen in all sorts of relationships, when that breaks up, you feel betrayed, you feel devastated. It can be extremely painful. There can be so much grief and anger and ill will in all that, and there can be a desire for retaliation, to try and get that ground back. You think, if only you could just hurt them back, if you could just repay them, just kind of inflict on them what you think they've inflicted on you, then that would somehow restore the ground, restore the balance. I suppose this is where an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth comes from. So this happens, this goes on. It happens, of course, on a small day-to-day scale. Someone says something you don't like. You retaliate. You know, they maybe tease you a bit, or they just say something you don't like. It just gets you in the wrong place, or you think that they're coming from a bad place. You just kind of feel they've got you in some way. And so you pay back. You kind of pay back with your own comment, maybe a jokey comment to get them back. And it goes on, like table tennis. Click, clack, click, clack, click, clack. Or it can be on a large scale, the grand, big betrayal. Somebody does something which you regard as absolutely, terrible, and you feel completely let down and justified in your angry response, your indignant response. Whatever, it's always painful. Like, I'm sure you can think of all the examples here from your own experience. So, because of all this, other people and our relationship to them, there's a great potential for unskillfulness. And there's a great danger of not only going against the precepts, the first precepts of not harming living beings, not only going against our bodhisattva aspiration to benefit all beings, but also there's the great danger of just simply ruining and squandering a decent human life, just on that level, a decent human life. You meet people sometimes completely eaten up with disappointment and blame and resentment and grudge, and they're deeply cynical and they're utterly, tragically stuck. Unfortunately, you even sometimes see Buddhists who've got caught in this. They're utterly, tragically stuck. It's like a thick, black, viscous sludge that they're in, with no flow, no movement. Just to retain our humanity, we will need patience. To kind of preserve any kind of creative response to life, we need to cultivate patience and forbearance. And a bodhisattva, of course, must have patience, must perfect patience. He's vowed to liberate all beings. He wants to connect with everyone, however they are, whatever they look like, whatever they, you know, whatever moods or states they're in, however they are in relation to him, he's vowed to connect with all of them and any of them, because he feels a profound empathy. He feels that interconnectedness is the way things are. So, of course, he's going to befriend and get involved with all these different types of people. He's going to get interested in them. He's going to care for them. And it's bound to happen in all this that others won't respond. They won't respond in the way he's approaching them. Or if they do respond and get involved, well, they just walk away. Just walk away. Maybe, you know, they've been to a Bodhisattva. You can imagine, so it happens, a teacher, you know, great teacher, has disciples, been with him for years, 20 years, all going well. And then they leave, give up, reject, renounce, walk away. Or people just change in ways that he didn't expect, react and not like him. And of course, a Bodhisattva, unless he's a very, very great Bodhisattva, is not perfect either. He won't always strike the right note. He'll get it wrong sometimes. And of course, that will invite, or could invite, all sorts of responses. Whatever happens, a Bodhisattva aspires to forbear. His practice is forbearance. To not give in to anger, to not give way to anger and hate. Maybe it might flash, it might flare up in him, in his mind, but he doesn't indulge it, doesn't hold on to it, doesn't fixate about it, doesn't get into righteous indignation, doesn't start thinking, oh, these stupid people, you know, they don't understand me, they're not, this is pearls before swine, all that sort of thing. He doesn't do that. It might flash, it might flare up inside him, but he keeps control. He controls his thoughts. He lets it pass. He lets go. And he keeps, above all, responding. Stays open, whatever others do. This is asking a great deal. Like the Bodhisattva aspires to be like Shantivardhan, staying in loving relationship when he's even being hacked limb from limb. So you're probably thinking, phew, well, that's a bit of relief, because I'm not a Bodhisattva, and that's a bit much what's being asked of me there. So, well, I'm not a Bodhisattva, so I don't need to bother. But, sorry, that's not the case. If you're involved in a spiritual community, a spiritual movement like our own, a spiritual community inspired by the Bodhisattva principle, inspired by metta and friendliness and friendship, inspired by the Dharma, you're involved in the project of sharing what you've had with others in one way or another. You're involved with that. You cannot avoid, therefore, being thrown up against others very different from yourselves. You can't avoid being thrown up against people that you're not usually drawn to. Or even if you like them at first, if you come together with any kind of intensity, and you do when you're involved in a spiritual community, well, that brings all sorts of things into play. All sorts of unexpected, even unpleasant and painful things can arise, which you have to deal with. Stuff happens. Things go down. And aversion will arise. Irritation will arise. Just at the habits you see that people have. I bet you some of you, at least some of you, have sat sometimes at the dinner table and you looked at somebody eating across you and you feel, God, the way he eats is appalling. And the way he kind of just conducts himself at the table, I really don't like it. I don't like the way he speaks. I don't like the way he eats. I don't like the way he walks. You cover it up with, oh, but he's a lovely person. He's wonderful. But I bet you it's gone on. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you're all Bodhisattvas and I'm just talking about myself. And of course, sometimes people will do things which you'll find really deeply upsetting. We're involved in a spiritual community. We're involved in a world which is not perfect. People can espouse and aspire to, you know, these wonderful ideas of friendship, friendliness, spiritual community, metta, and then they do something, or you find out about them, you think, that is just not Buddhist. You know, I feel really let down. I feel really disgusted by that. That, you know, it's not Buddhism. You know, we talk in this order about spiritual friendship and all the rest of it, but, you know, people are just letting me down, you know, letting everybody else down. It's a disgrace. But hey, as Wallace Stevens puts it in one of his poems, the imperfect is our paradise. The imperfect is a paradise for a bodhisattva, because the imperfect gives great opportunity to practice patience. So easy to get into anger and righteous indignation in relation to others. Or just disappointment and you know, upset when you know, have a fantastic course and you've got these guys coming along and they're so bright, so up for it, so into it, you think, yes! You know, this is the future of the order looks good. And then they just disappear. Never see them again. You know, they said it's fantastic, it's amazing, we're with you. And then they just disappear. This happens. Buddhist tradition, of course, is very, very clear. There are never, ever any excuses or justifications for retaliation, anger, ill will, at all. None whatsoever. And it's very important to get hold of this as an idea. Just as an idea. You know, I notice, it's easier to see it in other people, but I'm the same, I'm sure. As I see sometimes in other people, you know, they're really uptight about something, going on and on. And I think to myself, do you know about the teaching of patience? Do you actually know that Buddhist tradition says this is not a good way to be, just as an idea? Do you know that? You know, I've often thought that, but of course I really need to apply that to myself when I'm banging off, which happens. But the Buddha and the tradition is adamant on this, militant about this. There is never any justification for flaring up, for anger, for retaliation, and so on. Doesn't mind how badly you feel let down, even how objective it is, even if somebody has been a complete bad person, you know, and really, really harmed you, and, you know, in the objective order of things, they've been really treated you badly. There's never, ever any justification for an angry response. Okay, we can sympathise with somebody's anger, you can understand it and relate to it. And see what's going on. But it's never justified in Buddhist tradition. No matter how noble your cause. You know, you could say that the bodhisattva intention is the most noble cause of all. You know, this overwhelming desire, you know, to enrich other people, to liberate them from pain, to kind of build a Buddha land. Well, even if that is thwarted, even if it's threatened with destruction, even if it's destroyed, there is never a justification for disappointment, anger, hate and retaliation. There's only an opportunity for forbearance, patience and for learning. Learning about the deep nature of life itself.